All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, John and Chuck. Gentlemen, it is a gross rainy day in Nashville.
Perilous out there.
Perilous. But however, John, did you make time for breakfast?
I did, and I'm in the middle of a saga, a health-related saga. I was told by my doctor that it's something called intestinal bloat.
What?
So I am on like day 10 of gluten-free.
So no beer?
So you went to a doctor, said, doctor, I'm sorry, you can now go.
No,
Mr. MD.
Mr. MD.
Yeah.
That would be the next
I
one.
Have a, no. I have a, I believe I have what you would call a bloat, and then he poked at you and he said, yes.
It was an amazing saga because it was like a pretty serious physical, like a treadmill and everything, because we're trying to see if I'm going to have MCL surgery. And he wanted to test it out, and he was like, well, you're in better shape than you look. Let me run some tests.
It's always good to hear from the doctor.
Dude,
that cuts both ways.
Humiliating in every way. And he's like, this weight you're carrying around your midsection, it's all water weight. It's like, this isn't cellulite. This isn't fat. This is water weight. He's like, you have some sort of blockage. And now I'm freaking out. Like, I'm dead. I'm going to have cancer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
He's like, I think you might have like a celiac syndrome. Celiac disease.
You drink more beer than anyone I know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't lost 80 pounds in 10 days.
I have lost significant amount
of
weight.
Yeah, you do look thinner. You still look giant, but you look thinner.
Yeah. That double X Grizz shirt's a little loose today.
It is.
It's one of those, like, and the conversation is just so humiliating. He's like, well, I want to try two things. Let's try going a dairy-free. I'm like, no.
Don't do both at once.
He's like, well, what would be easier for you to quit, bread or dairy? And I was like,
life.
None.
Yeah, none. I will quit breathing.
But there are gluten-free beers that are drinkable.
No.
They are, however, $1 million a piece.
Available at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
That sucks, dude.
I've been drinking exclusively at Jed's Sports Bar because they have a gluten-free beer that I can tolerate.
There's a shout-out Nashville location.
I don't even know where that is.
I don't know where that is. Wait.
Chuck, you could not live this lifestyle.
I couldn't. No.
Because everything you eat comes on a bun.
It does. Wrapped in cheese and beer.
Yeah, this morning I had eggs, no toast.
Mm.
That's fine with me. I don't.
I do eggs and meat turkey in the morning. I've done low carb.
But just
days.
Imagine, not so, even an option.
So just eggs.
Yeah. It'd make me sad. I'm glad I'm not sick like you, John.
No biscuits.
Well,
no,
but I'm glad we.
No croissant.
Croissant? No.
It's good to put the finger on it, though. Isn't that what they say?
Well,
it's better knowing.
We're trying this for a month just to see if this is the.
Although
cause
it's one of those things
of my intestinal bloat.
It's better knowing, unless knowing is some terminal thing.
Right.
And then you would rather just
No. I would rather know that I was going to die than not be able to eat bread anymore.
On the plus
side, give me that life.
I'm retaining water like a pregnant woman.
Really?
Basically.
That's so cute.
I'm pregnant with water.
Oh. I thought your ankles always looked kind of chunky.
I do not have cankles.
You don't have cankles, but they look a little. They look a little.
Well, that's a very, very dramatic update from John.
Eddie Murphy would break up with me over my ankles.
Chuck, did you have breakfast? Any corn dogs in your morning?
No, I didn't have corn dogs this morning. I had two sausage biscuits from McDonald's, dollar each, old standard classic.
I am chartreuse with envy.
Yeah, it was a wonderful, greasy, beautiful Murfreesboro.
To hell with you.
Biscuit from the good McDonald's, the good folks at Mickey D's showing me love. Da 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 da. I'm pooping it.
Yeah, not keeping that in very long.
Nope.
I had a lemon poppy seed muffin from a local bakery. So
that local bakery was probably named Kroger.
That's the actually. I did not
is
go
Walmart,
to. I'm pretty much paid in Kroger points.
Yeah,
and
for our fans
this
Denmark,
this actually
Kroger
was
a
yeah.
We need to know. Kroger's a grocery store.
I think in my mind, Kroger's a Danish word.
Right. if you can tell if someone's truly from the South, if they refer to it as Kroger's,
right. All right, so that's our breakfast talk. We're doing it a little different this week since there's only been two games since we last met, and both of them went almost according to script.
the Atlanta Hawks farted away their season in a embarrassing final performance. Yeah. And then we did get a exciting game 5 of Rockets Warriors, and we'll talk about that a little. But we're just going to jump straight in to Waffle House Presents, or Hassan Whiteside, tailbones it back to Waffle House Presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts and an NBA Finals preview. So after all that, anything you guys want to bring up?
That last Warriors-Rockets game, I don't understand why a winner was declared.
We all lost.
Everyone lost.
Teams were struggling. They looked tight. They looked... What's the... Pervious? Is that the opposite of impervious?
That is the pervious.
They were very pervious to the pressure.
I was watching it without sound and texting you guys, and I commented, like, who wins the ice shop this game? It seems like everyone is up for it.
I don't mind jumping ahead since we're totally off format this week. Let's go ahead and give our award. We did not plan, obviously. We because of the way the NBA playoff schedule was with this giant week before the finals, we thought we'd just do a little bit NBA Finals preview. And obviously no International Stackhouse of Pancakes award.
We would think.
But apparently the news made its way to the Rockets and Warriors. they found out there was going to be no ice shop this week.
That was bulletin board material.
And they were like, well, let's see who can do this. The early leader. We have 3 nominees, all from this game. The early leader in the game was Josh Smith,
yes,
who, when checking into the game, had a, I got this.
Yeah.
An elimination game, Josh Smith was a thing.
It was, until now.
It was a 4-game-in-a-row thing. So then, I guess then entering himself into the race was James Harden, who came out slow, came out struggling, a little loose with the handle, you might say.
He turned the ball over in every conceivable fashion.
Started piling up those turnovers, but then not to be outdone. Draymond Green, who secretly is shooting terribly from the outside this playoffs. He is playing great in every other facet, but he's not actually hitting his jump shots. Draymond Green was chucking and chucking. And so those were our 3 nominees. The final lines turned out like this. Draymond Green, 3-for-15. Oh my.
Not great, Bob.
That always cracks me up. Mad Men will miss you. 3-for-15, 9 points. He did grab a bunch of rebounds and played a harassing defense. Mm-hmm. Josh Smith, Jay Smoove, in only 21 minutes, which is staggering. He did not sniff the court in the fourth quarter. After being so big in all these Rockets staving off elimination wins, he didn't, again, see the court. Because in his 21 minutes of play, he was 3-for-14.
And I don't really remember him making any shots.
He hit a couple of threes early in the game. Like, he hit a couple of threes. We were like, oh, elimination Jay Smoove is coming.
I only saw the last 3 quarters. Well, I was texting you guys. I was like,
I think he was over.
I was like, has Josh Smith made a shot?
But then, after John Burr said I was trying to force James Harden into winning an ice shop performance last week.
In my defense, they did not list the turnovers on ESPN stats.
Because again, John was watching this game at a bar that refuses to put sound on. I'm actually surprised he ended up there because he feuds with this bar.
They had gluten-free beer.
There's
no other option.
So now we understand the terrible life just course that took John to end up at this place.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not understand the turnover race. When I had my, because you know how much I love failure. Mm-hmm. My antennas were up early at that 8th turnover.
Ooh.
I'm like, NBA record is on the table. We're now chasing it down.
He's rubbing his hands together.
And I wasn't even sure what the NBA record was. And I was assuming a playoff record would be 10 or 11.
He did get it, right?
And yeah, he got it. So his final line, although there is some dispute. First of all, his final line, he was 2-for-11 from the field. He missed 3 free throws, which on its own is a big thing.
Anomalous.
10-for-13 free throws. He did what he do. 6 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals, but 2-for-11, 13 turnovers, an NBA playoff record by 2 whole turnovers. However, after the game, I don't know if you know this, the NBA went back and took a turnover away.
No.
Which is, again, no. in my mind, doesn't
no.
bode well for the NBA's credibility and always going back and tinkering with the rules to favor their superstars. But still, do not worry. Do not fret, John Burr. 12 turnovers is still an NBA playoff record.
He shattered that record.
Yes. He obliterated it.
It may never be broken.
And
you know what was scary, though? The Rockets played even worse when he wasn't in the game.
Right.
Yeah. Despite his 13 turnovers, he was clearly the straw that stirs the drink for them because they were just horrendous when he wasn't in the game.
And the Warriors were not really taking advantage.
That game should have been declared a draw.
Yeah.
No one wins. And so even if he had 12 turnovers, yeah, 2 for 11.
So do we...
His game score, just about as bad as you could do.
So do you think it was the Warriors figuring it out or him having two bad games? I mean, he kind of went... He had a decent series before, but it would...
His hand stopped working at one
point. It just seemed...
There's an obvious reason. Hmm. If you've been following...
Base God.
The Base God was in Oakland.
That's it.
I guess
you're right.
We're so tired of talking and reading about Base God that he disappeared for a minute.
Right.
The Base God tweeted after the game, like, he apologized.
Oh, he cursed.
He said, "I'm sorry, James. All you had to do was tell him where
the dance came from.
Where the cooking dance
whip it
came from." So I assume we're in agreement, even though Jay Smoove in 21 minutes made a valiant effort to be back-to-back playoff I shop.
Any other week.
This is James Harden's glorious award to go home with.
Maybe one of the last of the year. Love it. The wonderful, wonderful ending.
Oh, we're gonna have some iShop in the finals. We're gonna have J.R. Smith.
What?
2 for 15s.
One of the last ones. I love it.
Matthew Dellavedova.
So James Harden, congratulations. You're the iShop winner, International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award to the worst performance in a box score. You know who I think is the happiest when James Harden fails in the playoffs and gets eliminated? Sam Presti.
Yeah.
Easy.
I think Sam Presti cracks open that fine champagne he's been saving all year for when James Harden is no longer going to win an NBA title.
Yeah, and stops shaking in his boots.
I mean, they, again, not to... The Rockets had a great year. They incredibly finished second. They won the Southwest Division, which is, some would say, the hardest division in sports. All five teams made the playoffs. They won that division despite battling injuries all year. And then making the conference finals, losing to the Warriors, that's just a fantastic season. And it makes you wonder, how awkward is it going to be, would it be, if James Harden wins an NBA title before Durant and Westbrook?
At this rate, I think it's more likely that they will.
It seems they're...
Durant's future is very much up in the air.
The multiple foot surgeries... One Billy Donovan
contract status
coming in. The contract status, he might jump to the East where it's glorious and easy. Yeah.
And Russell Westbrook has the type of playing style that is kind of Derrick Rose-ish in that it looks almost unsustainable. You're like, how is this guy not getting hurt constantly? Although he does.
How does that guy not have a hole in his face? Correct. Oh, wait. Yeah. He got one of those.
He's bionic.
Kept playing.
No, you're right. It's that explosiveness that you wonder how long it's going to be until something just snaps. And
yeah.
It.
When
he
will
did
his
have
knee
that,
explode?
He did have that long run of being healthy for a very long time, and then now he's just getting older. All those miles going to the playoffs, you know, for all those years, it seems that he could be one of those guys that takes a precipitous fall in talent.
Yeah, and James Harden is not one of those guys.
No, he's got a game that's built to
he's
last.
He's going to be good for a decade.
Yeah, he'll be really good for a long time. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I think if Durant wants to do it, he's got to get himself out of the West.
Yeah.
Because you got to go. It's the hot knife through butter. A LeBron James through butter, if you will.
Well, LeBron James has stayed in the East as the East has been probably as terrible as it's been.
I don't know if you've seen this stat recently. The number of 50-win teams that LeBron James has beaten in the playoffs, 7.
Yeah.
LeBron James has only eliminated 7 50-win teams. The Warriors have done 3. Steph Curry's done 3 this season.
Kobe Bryant has beat 24 50-win teams in the playoffs.
So the
number's a little deceptive. Larry Bird's only beat 10, but that was in a much rougher Eastern Conference in the 80s when teams kind of ate each other up. But yeah, like LeBron really has stayed in the basically worst decade of the Eastern Conference. I can remember where top to bottom, it's had terrible teams.
Yeah, it's hard for me to judge based, I don't know on what metric we judge it, but definitely from the eye test, the idea is like, oh, if you build a team in the East, you have a free pass into at least the conference semis, you know. And a guy like LeBron James.
Just look at the roster of that Boston Celtics playoff team.
Absolutely ridiculous.
No one even wants those players.
They weren't even trying.
Right. Mm-hmm. They accidentally made the playoffs.
Yeah. It was a Dwayne Wade injury away from not making the playoffs.
Speaking of the Eastern Conference, this number surprised me. Cleveland's 4-game sweep of Atlanta in the conference finals, a 7% increase in viewership over last year. How is that possible?
Really?
Yeah, this year's Eastern Conference Finals had a 7% more viewers than last year's.
And that was a decent
Maybe there are just 7%
more people in the world.
Well, it was Indiana. Indiana was
also hard to watch.
Yeah, it was Indianapolis, who is a smaller market.
But then you see the viewership numbers of no one in Atlanta watched Game Four.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's interesting. You would think maybe that has something to do with fatigue of watching Miami get to the playoffs so often. It probably has something to do with it. But yeah, that's an interesting stat.
Our last mention of Atlanta before we ignore them forever. They shot in the conference finals against the Cavs. They shot 23.5% on open threes. 23 for 98.
Claude have mercy.
That's terrible. All right,
better than LeBron has been shooting threes.
Let's ignore all that and let's talk about, we have an NBA Finals. We have the NBA Finals that most people kind of wanted. I think before the playoffs, I know I was a little dubious. I was honestly dubious of the Warriors. I thought, I believe I picked the Spurs to win every round on the road.
As did I.
And look how silly we all are. The Warriors turned that regular season success into postseason success and look to be the heavy favorites. What do we think about this matchup?
Well, it's interesting. We talked about in our playoff preview adjusted playoff rosters and how that usually spells success for a team. And these are the two best adjusted playoff rosters. When the teams shorten the bench and play their best players, these are the two best rosters in the league.
Go ahead, Chuck.
No, it feels like that's wrong considering kind of the motley crew on the Cavs, but statistically they are.
Yeah, and with the injury to Love, who, by the way, re-injured his shoulder celebrating.
In a celebration, someone smacked him
too hard.
Yeah, he was doing the funky chicken and threw it out. But yeah, I think when you go eight deep, nine deep in the playoffs instead of going super, super deep into that bench, those two teams, they look best on paper statistically.
And they're both tearing through the playoffs. The Cavs have won 7 in a row. They have a combined, 5 losses between them?
Yeah.
Quick digression, because I don't think we're going to talk about Kevin Love again. Who is winning this asshole off competition between Kevin Love and Dwight Howard this week?
Is it the Bulls front office?
Oh,
no, Gar Foreman. winner, chicken
dark
dinner.
Dark horse.
Dark horse nominee.
Good Lord.
Yeah, highest winning percentage of a coach that's been let go like that. He's one of the.
Let's talk about that real quickly.
Okay. Let's. All right. So let's
fill them in, Keith.
In a handful of minutes, we'll give you that Warriors Cavs Finals preview you wanted. We had some Cavs coaching news. Excuse me. Many coaching news. The big one is Tom Thibodeau got fired, which everyone knew. Everyone had reported forever.
He had some success.
The press the press release was not boilerplate.
No.
It was a very specific we hate Tom Thibodeau. It was just saying successful organizations have something like free flowing communication, blah, blah, blah. This did not happen with this coach. He undermined blah, blah. It was a weird press release to say this guy, we hate him. And
Tom Thibodeau,
we hope he dies.
Should not use the Bulls as a reference. Mm-mm. On his resume.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to put that you worked there on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be what he stays away from.
I mean, the weird thing with the Thibodeau is the big strike against him is his allotment of minutes, and does he overplay guys? Does he burn guys out? Did he just work Luol Deng to death and then throw his corpse to another team?
Indeed he did.
And is that a bad thing?
Right.
And so that's the argument against, and that he wears players out and physically and emotionally or mentally or whatever.
Yeah, but then the question kind of goes to who should the Bulls hire, and they go with
Hoiberg, maybe.
Is Hoiberg, that's the character Hoiberg from Futurama, right?
Yes.
No, I think the best coach on the market is Thibodeau. Like, he's that guy. Like, they fired the best coach.
Or, like, Jeff Van Gundy is looking for jobs, but Jeff Van Gundy and Tibbs are tight.
Yeah.
And the Bulls apparently hate Jeff Van Gundy as well.
Yeah.
Because he, like, talks positively about Tibbs and stuff.
To be fair, I think everyone hates Jeff Van Gundy at this point.
Especially me.
If we have another video review, I don't know how much more I can handle Jeff Van Gundy talking.
Certainly not.
Here's what I'm kind of thinking. Where's he going? Like, where's the next place for...
It looks like he'll sit out.
Well, see, I thought the Magic would be a fun year. Yeah. I would love him to see run... They have, like, four good players.
Yeah.
I don't mind seeing those four players play 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
However, the Magic went with another man who just loves wearing people out.
Another angry, bald man.
It was Scott Skiles. And these coaching searches... They apparently don't have that. It's the NFL rule.
The Rooney rule
where you have to, like, do some just...
You must speak to a black
person. Yeah, a sham of an interview where you must bring a black person into your facility to talk to him.
Yeah.
You have to publicly speak with a black person.
Right. So these coaching searches in the NBA, less open-minded than that, even.
Yeah. Alvin Gentry excluded. Yes.
They're firing these coaches, and months ahead of time... They know who they're getting. Yes. They're like, oh, yeah, my buddy, I play golf with this guy. I think he's good. Scott Skiles hasn't worked in the NBA in 3 years, and
people hate him. But he assists as a Magic player.
So they pick him up.
And
Fred Hoiberg, like, this guy we like him in Chicago. Let's bring him back.
Yeah.
So Scott Skiles is an interesting hire in Orlando. I think, honestly, any hire in Orlando, I can't get too upset about it. The thing about, again, Skiles is he burns out players, and everyone hates him.
I think the plan is for Scott Skiles to be the second point guard off the bench. So
it'd be fine.
Yeah,
him and Ridenhour are probably
1A, 1B.
About even at this point.
Scott Skiles, probably most underrated NBA Jam player of all time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Rain in three from the corner. Skiles and Shaq.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You would jump and either alley oop it, or if the alley oop was closed, you just let fly on the three.
And it was going in. Yeah. Straight money.
Hard to beat. I think Skiles will be good with this roster. I think he will turn them in because the Magic are horrible at defense, even though they have Alfred Payton and Oladipo, who are both individually seem to be good defenders. And both guys I'm really into. I really like those guys.
Poor noob Saibot Tobias Harris is screwed.
He did not get to play in Milwaukee when Skiles was the coach. Skiles is a weird... If you look at his number... I was looking at his team numbers because in my mind... They played drag it out slow basketball, and that actually isn't the case. His teams with the Suns, with the Bulls, with the Bucks were most of the time really high in pace, but combined that with very bad offensive ratings.
Right.
So like they actually played fast, but were bad at offense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of so my memory of them being bad at offense is right, but it wasn't they were playing slow. It's just like, you know, they were eighth in pace every year and 20th in offensive rating and like 20th in points per game, which is kind of grotesque. But so you hope he does combine this defense, and if they don't get a rim protector, it doesn't really matter. You know, Vucevic is never going to stop someone with skill driving towards the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But they have all those pieces. It could be interesting.
Old Vucci, man.
That's too much Magic
Vucci talk.
Emptiest numbers in the league.
He's on the record for not being enjoyed. He doesn't enjoy being called Vucci Man.
Yeah, he does not. Sorry,
Vucci. Who cares?
So what's the other... So Hoiberg to Chicago. Oh, Alvin Gentry to the Pelicans.
Which...
This seems like, on paper, I think great.
Slam dunk.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Tibbs and...
I did too.
And then effectively shutting down defensively the whole league.
And that, and which is the Pelicans' problem, is defensively they're horrible. Offensively, they're... league average, but so I kind of thought they were going to go defensive as well, but maybe they'll just kick it into overdrive. Well,
I actually think their offensive rating was remarkably high. I feel like I read recently it was something like ninth or around there, where like your eye test, you watch the Pelicans, you're like, this is horrible. Why isn't Anthony Davis touching the ball more?
Yeah.
Like, why is Tariq Evans taking over
everything?
And why is why didn't Eric Gordon repost Anthony Davis when he kicked it out? You know, these type things. But in my opinion, perhaps that offensive rating is so good just because of the transcendent ability of Anthony Davis. And then you think, oh, if they get an Alvin Gentry, who is also an easygoing, kind of nice guy who gets along with people.
Yeah.
Not that Monty Williams doesn't, but maybe Monty Williams wasn't the best leader, obviously.
Well, Gentry's overdue for a job, too. I mean, he's had success everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's been fine, and you hope with this amount of talent that they will run things through Anthony Davis, and he will keep dominating.
His progression is what will keep them in the playoffs next year. He's going to turn into probably the best statistical player. I mean, he was by PER this year,
right?
But it's now learning how to dominate games, not just dominate the stat line.
About as under the radar a superstar as we have.
As you can get.
And a lot of it comes from playing for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes from just center. In today's NBA, it's not the most glamorous position anymore.
Right. But
although he makes a mind-blowing plays.
He really is. And now that's what I'm hoping to see in his progression as a player, to become a guy that will just take over, which, you know, it seemed that in the playoffs it was coming, starting to
it's getting there
to show.
I think also, and it's weird that they actually made the playoffs with this David Anderson having a terrible season, Drew Holiday being hurt, their defense being bad. I mean, Omar Asik is a good defensive player, but he's so awful at offense,
and they cannot play him at the same time as Davis.
So it'll be interesting to see how they can
no spacing
what they can do going forward.
Check. Ryan Anderson
with new
not David coaches. Anderson.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah. Yeah,
it's fine.
Thank you. Okay, so that wraps up our coaching, the
carousel
round. Yeah. All right. So now, let's go and say it. NBA Finals. What are your predictions?
Warriors in seven.
Oh, you a seven? A knockdown dragout.
Yeah,
a classic, I feel like, for the ages.
I feel like we're gonna have a couple of ridiculous LeBron games. I think a J.R. Smith game is looming.
Yeah.
He'll get one.
He'll have
have one
8-3.
I don't mean
game.
He'll win one game. I mean he will have one game where he's
good.
I'll say a six for ten.
Yeah. All from downtown.
Yeah, 22 points or something like that. No,
a million sexual innuendo Twitter mentions.
And you're I guess we should say we're assuming Kyrie plays. You're assuming that Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving.
He's not healthy.
If it's so you think they can go seven games with a 80% Kyrie? I'm asking.
I think,
that wasn't mocking.
I would not be I would not be utterly blown away if they won the series.
Right.
It's just,
says the guy who thought the Boston Celtics would beat them round one. I don't think they will win. I think the Cavs won't win. They will not win.
You're a hater, though.
There's no winning.
I don't think they're going to win either.
But
I wouldn't be blown away.
I think looking at the ISO numbers for the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's their whole entire offense. You look at the defensive numbers for Golden State, what they did to James Harden.
But remember, Klay Thompson's brain is bleeding.
You're right, but 7 days between
some of that fluid's come out of his ear too.
Seven days between games is, about as good as you can. Well, it's the longest break in NBA history for finals, which would have been great for Miami last year. I'm gonna digress. You look at all the puzzle pieces fit for the Warriors putting together a game plan with a wonderful coaching staff. That basically, I think, will end having the length on the perimeter to bother LeBron in his crampiest.
They have like four guys who can defend him.
Who obviously not shut him down, but just 90 feet bother him the whole game and just, plug them in when their legs are good. And it's going to be a nightmare for the Cavs. And I think you saw what Kawhi Leonard did just partially last year to LeBron, kind of just making him upset. You're going to see that same kind of thing with Green and the guys covering LeBron.
The Warriors are the best offensive and defensive team in the league.
Right.
So it's hard to pick against them. And I don't have the balls to do that, but I do think the Cavs will make a series.
So, I think it's going to be five games.
You think Warriors in five?
I think it's going to be five.
I'll go on the record as I will be stunned. I will be very surprised if the Cavs win this series. I think I'm a Warriors in five. I think if Kyrie comes out and is limping, if he looks remotely close to what we saw in the last game, where why in the world did he play in game four against Atlanta?
Right.
I think the Warriors could sweep. I think LeBron might get this thing where he just is overwhelmed. He's like, he gets this, oh my gosh, my supporting cast can't do anything.
Kyrie's health is extremely important, because that's the only weakness that the Warriors really have is point guard defense.
The Cavs, the story of their playoff run is their defense. They're the highest rated defense in the playoffs. And in the regular season, I mean, you can argue opponent, even though the Hawks and Bulls had regular season numbers, were good offensively. When you watch it, you thought they were just being awful. But I don't know how much, I still don't think they can match up with this offensive force. I think they're going to be just overwhelmed. And I think one of the interesting decisions the Warriors will make defensively is, how do you guard LeBron? Yes, you mentioned they have a lot of players. There's a lot of players who they can put on him, which you like, you know, you think they can reasonably do fine. You know, they're all healthier than Damari Carroll ended up being. And so the question is going to be, how much do they double, or do they let LeBron just get his? And I've heard some of this, and I think I would say let LeBron just go.
It really hurt the Hawks really badly whenever they doubled LeBron.
Right.
Like, really, like, demonstrably worse when they tried to double him. So, and I, you would think the Warriors noticed this, because I felt like it was discussed ad not, you know.
That's the only move the Cavs can hope for, really, is because of LeBron's ability to create off of a double team, the shooting that they have around him. You almost were just bug him the whole game and let LeBron James beat you.
It's a hilarious version of, like, the Van Gundy and Orlando, Dwight Howard and three-point shooters offense, with, like, a really awesome, talented, shares the ball Dwight Howard and LeBron.
Right.
Because that's really all it is. It's LeBron penetrating and dishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the entire offense.
And I don't think, if you do a thing where, I remember there was maybe a Suns-Mavs series where, way, way back, where Nash was on, I want to say the Suns, I could be getting this all wrong, but there's a thing where they decided they were going to let Steve Nash score every point he wanted, and he scored like 40 points a game, but they couldn't win. And I think it's a similar to this, where I think if LeBron is going at it, or if he's shooting 30 times a game or more, and he's putting up what ends up being huge stats, everyone will be freaking out. Like LeBron had 38 and, you know, 12 and 5.
Right.
If that 5 is the assists, I don't think they'll end up scoring enough points. Like, I just don't think, because if J.R. Smith doesn't get going, you know, they have a big time trouble scoring, especially if the Warriors are hitting their shots. Like, the Warriors are winning games. Again, we mentioned game 5. They weren't even hitting shots.
Even Steph wasn't hitting games.
Right. Steph's been off. Klay's been off most of the playoffs.
Like, oh, Klay's brain is bruised.
His brain is. We didn't do our steak and eggs best things or our cream of worst. However, I will say my steak and eggs might have been not Klay getting hurt. You know, no one wants to see that. But after he got hurt, and then there was blood coming out of his ear.
Blood coming out of his ear hole.
And Twitter doctors were losing their brains, being, how can this man be playing? Shouldn't he be checked for a concussion?
Right.
And then all Warriors defenders are like, you're no Dr. Twitter. Like, they have MDs on staff who are known to look for concussion symptoms. And yes, maybe he wasn't showing immediately concussion symptoms. But then in the post-game interview, where Doris Burke talks to Klay, and first of all, Doris Burke, I'm not a professional interviewer myself. Right. I don't have any experience doing it. But if I was going to ask someone a question, I might stand on the side of the ear that's not bleeding. Mm-hmm. Like, she asked him a question, and he goes, a what?
Yeah.
And then she's like, how are you? She says, how are you feeling? And then, to the joy of Twitter doctor, Klay Thompson says, I'm pretty dizzy. And so just and then it turns out he couldn't drive himself home. He does have a concussion.
That
was the funniest thing that happened for me that
Chekhov in Star Trek 2. It was
nuts. Oh, with the little earworm. Yeah, yeah.
Mind control device.
That's a correct reference. Draymond Green is, as I said, he hasn't been hitting his shots. Only 26% on threes in
still
the playoffs.
Still expertly trolling Dwight Howard, though.
Right.
When Dwight Howard claimed that no one can tell him he's not a champion. I believe Draymond's reply was to the was basically the equivalent of cool story, Glenn. Again, cool story, Glenn Dwight.
I will say Draymond has in the playoffs has 10 double doubles after entering the playoffs with 22 double doubles in his entire career. So he's man's doing work.
Coming out party despite poor shooting.
He is,
although he shot well enough against the Grizzlies for me to hate him forever.
Right. He is going to get himself paid along with the Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
All right. I think that wraps us up. I think that's all we need. That's all you, the listener, need. I think we're all picking.
We got the finals we wanted.
It's
time to sit back and enjoy.
We're all picking the Warriors. John thinks it'll be more of a game. Bitter Chuck, you know, LeBron hater, Dan Gilbert hater is, you know, resigned, or at least he's hopeful that it won't be much.
I'm using history as a reference.
Yes.
You know, defensive ratings and offensive ratings matter in the big scheme of things. And you've got a juggernaut, even with Klay Thompson being, if he's less than...
one of the best teams of all time versus one of the best players of all time.
Right. And we saw what one of the best players of all time did against a really good team last year in the finals. They lost in five games. So that's what I'm going with.
Seems astute.
With a better, I think, I'm not calling Miami last year better than... but yeah, I think that was a better team.
I think Miami last year is better than the Cavs.
Are this year, and I think the Warriors this year are better than the Spurs were last year.
I'm not sure about that.
In my head,
in your head,
in my head. So yeah,
heart of heads.
In my head of hearts, I think they're longer. They have they have the rim protection to bother LeBron. He's not just going to be able to steamboat his way into the lane and get to the bucket. I really think it'll be less than six games.
You forgot about Faye, man. You forgot about Timo Faye.
Timo.
All right. So our par fadeaway, our closing. I'll give you one little thought. Steph Curry, I think this is from ESPN Stats and Info. If not that, it's from NBA Stats. They're friends. It's fine. Steph Curry is the only first team NBA, all NBA player to face all other four of the first team in the playoffs. He has currently vanquished Anthony Davis, Mark Gasol, and James Harden, and will attempt to vanquish the fourth and final boss, yes, LeBron James.
M. Bison.
So that's really cool. You guys have anything else to shut us down?
I'm looking forward to this Timofey Mozgov NBA Finals MVP.
It's gonna be fantastic. I will say, if you're looking for something, I've talked many times about how the Warriors are very likable as a team. I will, if you want something to cheer against, I think we can look to the owners.
Oh, yes.
here's your daily reminder that the 1% will always win.
Every time.
We have, on one hand, Dan Gilbert, Comic Sans terrorist, predatory loan shark.
Yeah.
Man who built his fortune on the backs of the...
the poor.
The disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm. Not as bad as...
Well, I don't know if it's... I think that might be worse. But also, in your other corner, you do have venture capitalist Joe Lacob. Both of his dogs are named John Galt and Howard Rourke. So he's an Ayn Rand. I did this all myself. I don't need the society, and I will...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a blight.
So once again, the moral of the story is get all the money you can, and you win.
Yeah, I guess. Or love. Love people fully.
Kevin Love?
Kevin. Yeah. You get love.
You get Kevin Love.
You sully everything, Chuck.
All right. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Thank you for listening. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing.